Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Powered by Mountain High Appliance. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach
Bye. What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the pod, reacting to not just a game, but a legendary Denver sports moment. The Denver Nuggets have taken a 2-0 series lead on the Los Angeles Lakers. The last time we spoke was Thursday, forecasting the series. And holy moly, the layers to this conversation are, it's like a chapter book to get through it. We're going to try our best in a target range of about 20 minutes. We normally try to keep these podcasts to 20 minutes or less. And we're going to try to do that today, and it's going to be a real effort, as I also have 4 hours of radio waiting for me after this. And I was just telling a buddy, got 3 hours of sleep last night. I was lucky enough to be in the building, was shooting content after the game, was standing on the court of Ball Arena at midnight, and got home, couldn't go to sleep because I was so wound up and excited and just thrilled. And the next thing you know, the kids are up at 6 a.m. And here I am. So we are going to, with great enthusiasm, power through this today. Because I'll tell you what, guys, we are so stinking lucky. We are so stinking lucky. I am so stinking lucky. And privileged to be in the arena last night. That was the loudest I have ever heard Ball Arena. It's tied for some other signature moments that I'm not going to go through and itemize. But what I mean is, I'm saying it's tied because I've never heard it louder. And I have been in that barn for Stanley Cups. I have been in that barn for NBA championships, for game winners, for overtime goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I have never heard it louder than I heard it on Monday night. Jamal Murray is interweaving himself in the history of Denver sports moments. Like, not just performance, and we'll talk about his performance in just a second, but just a singular moment. I think I could put that up there with pretty much anything in the history of Denver sports. Now, I'm not telling you it's the greatest moment in Denver sports, because it's not, but I think a singular moment. Guys, this is the Lakers. This was the largest comeback in the history of the Denver Nuggets with a game winner on the heels of it. Like, are you kidding me? Down 20 points and coming back and winning. I have so many thoughts here. I'm just going to kind of do a verbal diarrhea, and then I want to go through some notes and stats and figures from the game that I just find absolutely fascinating. Jamal played terrible. Jamal was really bad, okay? And I don't want the ending to cloud what the first 80% of that game was like. I thought Jamal was going to explode in game number two. And if you look at last year's first round against Minnesota, I thought it was going to be a reflection of it, where, and I hope I get these numbers right, in game one against Minnesota, he shot 9 for 22 from the floor and struggled against the Timberwolves. That was in game one. Game two, he explodes for 40 points. This year in game one, struggled. I think it was 9 for 24, 9 for 22, something like that. It was almost the exact result from the floor. And I'm like, this guy's going to explode for 30 points in game number two. And he just didn't. It just never came. And quite frankly, if I'm remembering how I felt in the moment, Jamal was hard to watch at points. I mean, my text messages were flowing from friends around the country, and one of them, and I'm not going to say his name because he's a national media member and on the football side, and doesn't live not in Colorado, and he says, "Did Jamal Murray pull a Jontay Porter and bet against himself?" That was the text message that I got from a buddy, and obviously he was kidding, but that was how some people were feeling in that moment. And then when the stage was the biggest, the lights were the brightest, Jamal Murray, like so many times before, answers the bell. I mean, him in the fourth quarter, and the closing sequences, the jumper, the getting to his spot on the right side of the floor with no time left. It was, you know, you want to know what, and I was talking about this with a buddy at the arena. That was very Kobe-esque, by the way. That was very Kobe-esque of Jamal. And Kobe would have games like that, too, where he just couldn't make shots. And then in closing time, it'd be like, he freaking did it again. Kobe loved that right side of the floor, individual isolation play. Just get to your spot, rise up off an ISO, and shoot it. And Kobe had a game winner against the Phoenix Suns, circa like 2006-07, something like that, with that exact shot. To take a 3-1 lead over Phoenix. And I'm mentioning this because that, you know, Jamal looked up to Kobe and really idolized Kobe in so many ways. We've talked about that through the years on this podcast with the footwork and stuff, but that's what I thought of in that moment. So legendary. But Jamal has struggled here. I mean, Jamal was 2-for-10 in the first half for 4 points. Through three quarters, he was 3-of-16. And then proceeded to go 6-for-8 in the fourth quarter for 14 points in the last 12 minutes, finishing with 20 points. Through the first 7 quarters of the series, this is pretty hysterical in the wrong kind of way, but we can laugh because the results, like all that ends well is well, or whatever that phrase goes. Jamal Murray shot 12 of 40 in the first 7 quarters of the series. 12 of 40. That is the struggle bus. He is in the front seat there, and he'll break out of it. No doubt at all. None of it happens without Jokic. None of it. You cannot forget the base of the pyramid that holds this entire thing up and gives Jamal's moment relevance. Because Michael Porter Jr. and Jokic were really the only two guys, especially in the first half, that were carrying their weight. I mean, outside of Jokic and MPJ, look at the rest of the Nuggets from three. Aaron Gordon, 0-for-2. Murray, 0-for-5. KCP, 0-for-4. Peyton Watson, 0-for-2. Justin Holiday, 0-for-1. Reggie Jackson, 0-for-3. Christian Brown, 0-for-3. Guys, that is, outside of Jokic and MPJ, that is 0-for-20 from 3. And they won. This was a game that Los Angeles, in the first half, shot 57% from 3. This is a team that shot 49% from the floor. Significantly better, 5 percentage points better than Denver. And from three, they shot 43% from three. That was double the three-point field goal percentage of the Nuggets. And the Lakers lost. This is why they have to be so demoralized. Like, what do we have to do to beat Denver? LeBron James was that dude in the fourth quarter. He was so good. Big shot after big shot. And one to the basket. Steal, dunk with seconds left. Anthony Davis scores into the 30s again. He was as hot as the surface of the sun in the first half. AD was. All right? He scored 24 points. Anthony Davis did. In the first half, he finishes with 32. And they lost. They got a third score. In game two, in a way that they did not in game one. D'Angelo Russell made the most three-pointers of any player in the history of a Lakers postseason game. Put that all together. LeBron was 26, 8, and 12. Anthony Davis is in the 30s. 7 made threes by D'Angelo Russell. Shooting 43% as a team. Better from the floor in general than the Nuggets, and they lost. How deep into their psyche are these Denver Nuggets? You talk about an unflappable team. You talk about a team that has connective tissue that is unusual for a pro sports team. You talk about a team that's tough. The Nuggets are tough. Blue collar, the deepest shade of blue. For it to stick together like that, down 15 at halftime, as many as 20. These guys were LeBron James is dapping Darvin Ham up in real time. They're hooting and hollering. D'Angelo Russell's goading on fans at Ball Arena. All to lose for a 10th consecutive time. That is ownership. That is rare dominance. Okay? What we say in pro sports, well, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. You know, teams like NFL playoffs, play them home, play them away, and then you got to play them again. Hard to beat a team three times in a row. Hard to sweep a team at the pro level, right? 10 consecutive losses. That is wild. It's historic. In the literal sense, the Los Angeles Lakers have now lost as many postseason games in a row. So forget the 10 postseason games. The Nuggets have now won 6 consecutive postseason games against the Lakers. That is the most, tying the most, the longest losing streak against any singular opponent in the history of the Lakers playoffs history. Wild. Wild. This is where we're at. And Jokic, I can't believe, like, he's not the lead in a game where he goes for 27, 20, and 10. 27, 20, and 10. That's his fourth career playoff game with 25, 20, and 10. That's not even a chunky triple-double. That is an obese triple-double where the numbers are spilling out of the box score. You want to know how many times that's been done in NBA history? Jokic has done it 4 times. I just told you that. In the entire history of the NBA, combined, it's been done 4 times. So Jokic has as many 20-20 and 10, or 25-20 and 10 games as the rest of the history of the league combined. Wilt did it twice. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it once. Dave Cowens back in the 70s with the Celtics did it once as well. We are watching the rarest type of superstar in the history of this league. We are watching one of the 10 greatest players of all time who is trending to be one of the 5 greatest players of all time. The efficiency is insane. Guys, in the 2 games in this series, Jokic is averaging 30 points, 16 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals on 62% shooting. 43% from 3. Okay? Soak it in. Be a sponge. This is incredible. Incredible. And here's the punchline to this whole conversation. You ready for it? Denver hasn't played well yet. They haven't played well yet. We're not seeing B-plus Nuggets basketball. We're not. That was a C-plus game. That was a C game. I'm not even putting the plus on it. I can't. And I'm not trying to be sensational. Guys played well in moments, but collectively, we have not seen the Denver Nuggets fire on all cylinders. We just haven't seen it yet. I know better. And that's what's really scary for the Lakers. You should have seen, and I wish I could take a picture, but it's illegal. Can't take pictures back behind the scenes in the loading dock when the Lakers are, so I'm there, it's midnight. The Lakers are making their way to the bus. Oh, doctor. The face on Rob Pelinka, general manager of the Lakers, looked like he got punched in the stomach and then was forced to eat a lemon and do a shot of vinegar. That man was down bad. Oh my gosh. You could see it on his face like, it's over. And it is. It is. For all intents and purposes, this series is over. Now you got to go finish it. You got to show up to school. If I'm using the same analogy, the end of the season, remember they lose against the Spurs. Like you pass the final exam on a Wednesday against the Timberwolves. All you got to do is have to show up and finish the year, get the attendance credit, and you're going to pass and move on to the next round. So it's not a birthright that you're going to sweep these guys. But they would really have to mess around to screw this series up. Because like I said, they still haven't played well yet. Michael Porter Jr., got to give him an individual shout-out. 22 points, 9 rebounds on 8 of 13 shooting, 6 of 10 from 3. He is now the second player in franchise history to have 5 playoff games and making 5 or more threes. His 3 in the closing seconds, this is after the turnover, the Jamal Murray turnover. LeBron James goes the end of the court, dunks it. At that point, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought the Lakers were going to win. Jokic, presence of mind, uses their momentum against them. It's a huge play. He gets it right back up the floor. All right. I'm trying to remember how the actual sequence. Jokic tried to like draw a foul. Aaron Gordon grabs a rebound. Unsung, under the radar hero of this game, gets it out to Porter Jr. Porter's got traffic all around him, and I can tell you, it is hard to shoot with defenders all around you like that. And it was more than one. He's got guys near his feet and stuff, and just freaking nails. Knocks it down. Huge moment for that young man's career. Huge, huge. And that makes the Jamal Murray sequence. I'll use the same word with Jokic. That huge shot from MPJ makes the Jamal moment relevant. All right, and it took everyone. It did. Since 1985, best of sevens in the NBA. Home team goes up 2-0. They are 206-18. 206-18. Largest comeback in Denver Nuggets history. We've seen the Nuggets come back from 19-point deficits, not once but twice. Never from 20, though. Never from down 20. Jokic now has 17 triple-doubles in the NBA playoffs. That is third most of all time. Second is LeBron with 28. So he's got 11 more triple-doubles than Jokic. LeBron did his in 284 games. Jokic has 17 triple-doubles in 70 games. Magic is number one all time. By the way, 30. By the way, Magic on Twitter today said he couldn't even tweet last night. He was so devastated. Prayers up. All right. I think that is the majority of what I wanted to get to, and we are hovering around our... one more note. Denver, 18 points in the paint in the fourth quarter alone. 18 points in the paint in the fourth quarter alone. The Lakers scored 20 points in the paint total. Jokic was brilliant. Jokic was great in that fourth quarter. 7 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in the fourth quarter alone for Jok. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis, who is blistering in that first half, did not score a point in the fourth quarter. In fact, his last bucket was at the 7:15 mark of the third quarter. Incredible. This is special. Enjoy it. Rapid fire shout outs here on the way out. Aaron Gordon, his defense again in the second half on Anthony Davis was brilliant. Brilliant. All right. The box score is looks fondly upon AG, but it doesn't tell the whole story. All right. He was fantastic defensively, as was KCP. Look at the box score. KCP didn't have a big game. Defensively, he was fantastic, as was Christian Brown. Coming off the bench, all right? He played a huge role in that win. Defensively, offensively, layup and crunch time, huge for Christian Brown. And the bench, as we had talked about for the last month of the season, narrowed minutes, narrowed focus, offensive players from the starting unit paired with rock-solid defensive players in the second unit, mainly Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. And this is what it looks like. The bench has been better. So you have the best player in the series, best starting five in the series, and a better bench, and a more connected unit. Add it all up. Equal sign. Curtains for the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, we are going to say goodbye, guys. Thank you for being here. I have been putting pregame content, postgame content, up on my Instagram. Hit me up at ZBuy23. Guys, my YouTube channel. I have a video of Jamal Murray's in-arena shot. I was rolling on it. Had a steady hand. It's on my Twitter. It's on my Instagram. It's on my YouTube. All right? Go find it. It's on my TikTok. All right? I am maxing out these moments. I am all in here. All right? I'm doing stand-ups after the game with the old tripod and the old ring light. Guys, I'm all in. Go follow me on all these socials, instant reaction after the game, all that stuff. So, and if you think we deserve 5 stars for this podcast, give us freaking 5 stars, man. We've had this podcast for 6 years, and I love running into listeners saying they get a kick out of it in season number 6. Guys, we're going to look ahead. Game 3 is going to be in Los Angeles. That will be on TNT at 8 o'clock on Thursday. Will that be Thursday? Tomorrow? Yes, it'll be Thursday evening. All right. It'll be Thursday evening on TNT at 8 o'clock. So we will reconvene on Thursday, get leftover thoughts out from this game on Thursday, and preview game number 3 in Tinseltown on Thursday, right back here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.